Today, Monday, December 2nd, Lyndon presented the Enrico Fermi Award to Dr. Robert Oppenheimer in the Cabinet Room late this afternoon in an atmosphere charged with drama. It's a story that has gone on into its third decade, beginning in the 1940s when Dr. Oppenheimer was director of the Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory in New Mexico, where he produced the first atomic bomb. And then in the aftermath of the war, when so many were being questioned for association with communists, he himself came under public suspicion, and President Eisenhower ordered a blank wall placed between him and secret information. In other words, took away his security clearance. And this now, in the 60s, the last act of this drama, Oppenheimer, in receiving the Enrico Fermi Award, is having his name cleared and being put before the American public once more as a great scientist who served his country well. I felt like I was on the front row seat of a great Broadway production. Dr. Oppenheimer is a lean, gray, pale, white-haired man. He looks like he's been seared in the fires of public suspicion and doubt. He's a living example of how somebody can survive that, because it must be one of the cruelest ordeals a person can live through. Present were Dr. Oppenheimer's wife, a gentle-faced, sensible, happy-looking woman. She probably sort of helped him keep his sanity when it was all going on. His children, Catherine and Peter, a group of his friends, the senior Democrats on the Atomic Energy Committee, Dr. Edward Teller, one time his chief adversary on the question of whether to develop the hydrogen bomb, and also present, Dr. Henry Smythe, the lone dissenter in the 4-1 commission decision when Dr. Oppenheimer lost his security contest. Notably absent were any of the Republicans. The ranking Republican, Senator Hickenlooper, had sent word that he could not in good conscience attend. Lyndon used the usual words of praise about Dr. Oppenheimer as a leader of learning, high standards of achievement, and then Dr. Oppenheimer responded with some nice references about Thomas Jefferson and the Brotherhood of Science, and then, speaking in a low voice, and I think just entirely personally to Lyndon, he said, "I think it is just possible, Mr. President, that it has taken some charity and some courage for you to make this award today. That would seem to be a good augury for all our futures. I wonder if he knows just how often one has to use that sort of courage and charity, and how there are a good many times when you can't possibly foretell the long-term outcome of your actions and can't be entirely sure you're doing the right thing. That's the painful thing about this job. In this case, I have the happy feeling it was the right thing, and I'm glad to see him come out from under the shadow." Lyndon got a laugh when, after giving the pretty gold medal to Dr. Oppenheimer, he turned and handed the $50,000 check to Mrs. Oppenheimer and said something like, "The wives usually get hold of the money." In this case, Lyndon was only the agent, because the citation itself had been signed by President Kennedy just a short while before his assassination, and the whole thing had been planned by him. We went on home to dinner at the Elms with Drew and Louvie Pearson, sitting in front of one of fireplace made out of Drew's own wood, and Justice and Mrs. Goldberg, and Tyler and Bess. I keep on thinking about Justice Goldberg, that his rampant energy and his real warm feeling of working for his fellow human being, his shrewdness and his humor, must be a little bit caged up on the Supreme Court. I'd like to see him out on the front line of battle more. Dorothy, I always loved to hear her talk about art, and then there was her book, and then Louvie Pearson talked about her work with a group of women here in teaching the rudiments of reading to underprivileged children in the district, most of them niggers. She's a spearhead in the movement. I take off my hat to people who really spend the days of their life doing something like that.